What do you say, Mr. Harper? Let's get to the calls.
All right.
Whoever's, I know we've got a couple, so whoever's been holding the longest.
All right, well, let's take Roger. Roger has a queen palm question.
Yes.
Yes,
good morning.
How can we help?
Well, I've heard you guys talk on this show before about queen palms not being indigenous to Arizona, and after so many years they get stressed out and start looking bad. And so I was wondering, is there anything I can do to, you know, keep them healthy? What's the best thing I should do?
Well, I think part of the problem we've had with queen palms in the last 15 or 20 years is when we started to landscape in a more xeriscape fashion, you know, more granites, gravels, less turf areas, less irrigated beds with bubblers and shrub sprays where we were watering large surface areas and we went to drip irrigation. They just did not make that transition very well. So number one would be make sure you're watering them adequately. A lot of the stress we see with queen palms is just from lack of water. Make sure that they're healthy and growing quickly, so keep them well fertilized. Whether you use a good tree and shrub type fertilizer or a palm tree food, either way, during the growing season, so from about March or April till September or so, I would probably monthly feed them. So just
okay.
keep them watered well and fertilized well and really growing and healthy. That'll be your best bet.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Do you have a queen palm, or are you a fan of a queen palm?
We just moved into a new home, so I have five new young queen palms.
Gotcha. If somebody was looking to plant a palm type, is there a better alternative, Jay?
Well, there's some newer palms out called a mule palm that Treeland Nurseries in Mesa is growing. It's a hybrid. Is more drought tolerant, more heat tolerant, tolerant of our heavy clay soils and alkalinity. Canary Island date palms, if you're wanting something in that 15 to 20 foot tall type range, is a great heat tolerant palm. Mediterranean fan palm, another one, it's more of a clumpy grower, but it's definitely more tolerant of our environment here. They do very, very well here.
All right, let's get to, I believe it's Jim, who's next on the line.
Yeah, I think it's Tim. I've got a question. I've got three trees with, I think they call it desert mistletoe.
Okay.
What can I do to get rid of that? What should I be?
Well, the best way to get rid of mistletoe is to prune out the affected limb. Mistletoe is a parasite, so it's growing into and sharing the vascular system of the host plant. So you can't apply anything to it that may not affect or kill the host plant it's growing in. Having said that, there is a product. It's the same product we use to prevent olives from setting on olive trees, called Florel Fruit Eliminator, that does have instructions on it to control mistletoe. You might look into that. But other than that, cutting it out or pruning it out is really the only other option.
And you have to be careful about making sure that mistletoe doesn't touch other things, or do you not need to worry?
Well, the
about
big
that?
Thing is controlling it before it actually flowers and produces seeds, because there's a little bird here. There's birds all over that spread it, called it Phainopapilla. It's a little black crested topped bird, and you see it out in the desert all over the place. And he is largely responsible for spreading a lot of the mistletoe. So once it produces a seed or a fruit on it, it can be spread more readily. So probably the speed in controlling it, getting it while it's young, cutting out the limbs that it's attached to before it does that, is the best bet.
We appreciate the call at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Good luck battling your mistletoe. I believe Rollin's next on the line with a grass question. Good morning, Rollin.
Morning. I've just moved into a house with an old lawn, and there's a lot of, I think it's foxtail, and then a different kind of grass. It's a lighter green, real short, and it makes the seed right away. and then some Bermuda. I was wondering, how do I get rid of this foxtail and the other grass to allow the Bermuda to spread?
Well, there are some products out there. Fertilome makes a product called Weed Out with Crabgrass Control that will kill some of those grassy-type weeds and not kill your Bermuda. You can also spot treat if they're really bad. You know, if you have persistent things that are grassy weeds, you can spot treat them with a product containing glyphosate. You can pull them, obviously. It's another way to do it. But you definitely want to not let them go to seed. As soon as those rascals go to seed, if you run over them with a lawnmower or the wind blows them around, that's just going to continue to spread them. So get on top of them now, control them. And probably the best way to eliminate weeds in a lawn is to have a good, healthy, vigorous lawn. So start fertilizing that Bermuda as it starts to green up and keep it well fed. Feed it once a month. And that will, it in and of itself, will help choke out a lot of weeds if it's got a good, thick base of grass.
We appreciate the call. We're moving through them quick. So as you hear a line clear, that's a good opportunity to jump online at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we go to Claudia with a question on a peach tree. Good morning, ma'am.
Hi. Great show, you guys. I've got a peach tree. My old 25-year-old one died last year, so my husband planted a new one. I think it's called Desert Gold, and it's got a whole load of peaches on it already, little ones, you know. And I went out there and thinned it a while ago because I thought I had read somewhere that the peaches shouldn't be any closer together than 3 inches, otherwise it makes it too heavy on the limbs. Well, anyway, the trunk hasn't kept up with the growth of the limbs, and so the whole top of it is falling over and bowing over because of all the weight of the peaches, and the trunk does not. How do I beef up the trunk to keep up with the rest of the tree?
Well, how old is the peach?
How old is the peach?
The tree. Yeah, I'm sorry.
He planted it last year. I think it came home in about a 5-gallon bucket.
Okay, so it's an itty bitty baby tree. And it's got all this fruit on it, so you need to take off more fruit, number one. And then you may need to prop up the limb or actually put some type of stake on the tree temporarily to hold it up. But I would say you still need to thin it out more. You know, we had one of our old county extension agents here. His name was Lowell True, and he used to tell us to have your neighbor come thin your tree for you because you won't take enough off of your own tree. So you got to have somebody that's purely objective, that doesn't have a vested interest in the tree, come thin it out for you, because it's just human nature. You're just not going to want to remove as many fruit as you should. So you certainly, especially on a young tree, need to thin it out a whole lot more than you obviously have.
That is a hard thing to do, to trim the proper amount that's required. It's because you have it there for the fruit, and it's...
Well, and again, we talked about citrus producing more than we can eat. You know, peaches are all going to be ripe on the same day. So you not only have a lot of fruit there that you got to do something with, you got to do something with it, you know, in a day or two.
Yeah, they don't have that protective rind like citrus do that helps keep a lot of the birds off.
So keep that in mind when you're looking at how many are left. If I find it's much better to have a nice amount of fruit and have nice, big, juicy ones than to have a whole bunch of little tiny peaches that are hard to do something with and have the fact that they might break your tree. So got two things going against you there.
Now, when we came in, I had promised we would go to weeds, and I blew right past that getting to the calls. I apologize before I run out of time in this segment. What are we going to do for weed control? And then on top of that, Mrs. Miller writes in and says, I don't have time to put any care into my backyard. Is there something that will kill absolutely everything so I can put down rock and not have to worry about my backyard?
Well, glyphosate, which is, you know, the old Roundup. I know that, you know, a lot of people shudder anymore when they hear that, but if we're not using it around edibles or in a vegetable garden and we're just going to put rock over the yard, it is still the single most effective herbicide as far as controlling weeds and or grasses. It's non-selective. so it'll kill weeds or grasses. It also has to be absorbed through the foliage, so there's no reason to put it on the ground where there is nothing growing. And if we are, you know, if we use common sense and we mix it appropriately and we only spray it on the foliage of the weeds or grasses or plants that we want to eliminate, then it's reasonably safe to use. So it's still the best way to go if you're trying to get rid of a lawn or get rid of weeds or grass and control grasses in a gravel landscape ornamental situation. It's not recommended for use, in a vegetable garden, but if we're talking about a gravel lawn, it would be fine.
And even in a gravel lawn, you have wind, you have seeds floating around, you have bird drop, you've got dust. You're going to still have to either keep on it with a pre-emergent or a weed killer a couple times a year. I mean, it's just...
Correct.
When it rains, stuff grows, even weeds.
Correct. So once we have these weeds or grasses killed and we've put our gravel down, then the application of pre-emergent a couple times a year, if she's wanting as low a maintenance as absolute possible, using pre-emergent a couple times a year will certainly... be the best way to go.
We appreciate all the calls and texts and emails. It's Rosie on the House to reach in. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-Rosie for you. You can also, the text is 411-923 or email info@rosieonthehouse.com. Anything going on in the nursery this afternoon, Mr. Harper?
Well, hopefully just lots of folks coming in and asking questions and wanting help with their landscapes. We'll be there to help people, design, help, plant, pick the right plant for the right place. Lots of nice warm season annuals have come in. We've got lots of vinca and getting ready for the warm season and beautiful bougainvilleas and lantanas and hibiscus and shade trees ready to plant.
That's Harper's Nursery and Landscape on Hayden, just south of Tom.